Who am I? A lot of people are asking that question these days. Who am I? You see, there's a gap. There's a gap between who God says I am and sometimes who I feel like I am. Sometimes it's easier to believe what I say about God than what He says about me. You follow that? Sometimes it's easier to believe the things that I say about God. God, you are great. You are holy. It's easier to believe those things than sometimes what He says about me, who He calls me, who He says that I am. A couple weeks ago, I preached a message to you and told you that before we can know who we are, we must know who God is. Do y'all remember that? So who do you say that God is? I love this card that I got. I had a birthday a couple weeks ago. In this front of this card, it's a Max Lucado card given to me by a dear friend. And it says, "You are who God says you are. You are spiritually alive," because God says I'm spiritually alive. "You are heavenly positioned, connected to the Father, a billboard of mercy, an honored child." And then there's a passage that says, "I praise you because you made me in an amazing and wonderful way." King James says, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." That's who I am. That's who God says I am. Isn't that awesome? There's a passage of Scripture I want us to read. It's Matthew chapter 16. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 16. We're going to read 13 through 19. We've also got it up on the screen if you don't have your Bible with you, or if maybe your Bible print is too small. I'm experiencing that more and more often. As I'm reading more and more from my studies, my eyes seem to be getting tireder and tireder. I know that's not a right word. They're more tired. But the print keeps getting smaller and smaller, or blurrier and blurrier. So maybe this on the screen is easier for you to read. Let's read this passage. 13 through 16, it says, "When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say the Son of Man is?' Well, they replied, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' 'But what about you?' he asked. 'Who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter answered, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' Jesus replied, 'Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven.'" I love Peter's statement. "You are the Christ." King James, that's when I memorized Scripture, most of it's in the King James. He says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And if I know Peter, from what I read about Peter, he didn't say, "Thou art the Christ." Peter didn't do it that way. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Woo! Peter didn't hold stuff back, you know. He's the one that said, "If it's really you, call me to come to you, and I want to walk on the water. I want to come to where you are." And he said, "Come." Peter's the only one that got out of the boat. We people focus on Peter. Well, he got out, but he sank. Yeah, but he got out of the boat. He got out of the boat, Peter. He was always quick to talk, wasn't he? Quick to act. It's like he would be drawing a sword and cutting people's ears off and stuff. That was Peter. He said, "Thou art the Christ." He made no apologies. He didn't hold back. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." I love Peter's boldness there. Verse 15. It may be one of the most important verses in human existence. Who do you say that I am? Why do I believe that may be one of the most important verses? Because how you answer that verse affects you for all of eternity. The only really question, really only real question that matters is, who do you say that Jesus is? Peter professes Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I love this, because Jesus basically said, now, Peter, that you've correctly identified and professed who I am, I'm going to tell you who you are. I'm going to show you what I want to do through you. You see, it's upon our confession and our profession of who Jesus is that he shows us who we are. It's when we confess the absolute lordship of Jesus as the Christ, even though we may not completely understand it all, y'all, listen, I don't completely understand it all. But when I confess it and profess it, what I do understand, you see, because Peter didn't either. Peter didn't get it all. But when we confess and profess that, he tells us and reveals to us who we are. We're his children. He's given us the right to be called sons and daughters of God. Peter, he went from Simon, which means shifty. You know, back then the names, they really put a lot of emphasis on their names, because the names, you didn't, Jacob was called, remember, the deceiver. Why was he called that? It's a fitting name for him, right? Isaac was called what? Laughter. Because when God told Sarah, you're going to have a baby, she did what? She laughed. All throughout the Hebrew history, the names were very, very important. And listen here, Simon means shifty. But Jesus said, now you're going to be called Peter. You know what Peter means? The rock. Rock solid are you, Peter. You've been shifty, but you're going to be rock solid. Three things I want us to take from today's sermon. If you take notes and you write stuff down, here's my 3 points. I'm going to give them to you up front so that you'll have them. And that way, if I don't make it to the end, at least you'll have the points. Okay, here they are. Number one, correction. Number two, protection. And number three, connection. These are the three shuns. You got correction, protection, and connection. Correction. You see, Jesus is not just what the people say he is. They said, who do people say that I am? And they told him, well, some say you're the prophet, some say you're, you know, this, whatever, some say Jeremiah, whatever. He said, oh, wait a minute. The correct response is, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Correction. Protection. Listen to this. He goes on to say, Peter, even the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, because on you I'm going to build my church, the rock. You see, often what we call an attack of the devil is just an attack of our identity. Our identity in Christ. And oftentimes it comes from within. A lot of times we question that ourselves. Who am I? Who am I? I know God says this, but I don't feel it. Who am I really? It's like a virus. I was watching TV last night with my wife. Actually, she was not watching TV. I was watching TV, but I stopped it and I said, look at this. Listen to this. Because she was doing homework. There's a company out there called LifeLock. Anybody ever heard of it? LifeLock? Okay. It's a company that they advertise that they give you protection from identity theft. Okay? Here's their motto. LifeLock. Relentlessly protecting your identity. I thought, oh, I got to use that. I got to use that. Relentlessly protecting your identity. If we're going to rise above the shifty to become a solid rock, we have to relentlessly protect our identity. And if you protect your identity, God will direct your activity. There's a nugget you can write down. If you'll protect your identity, God will direct your activity. If we'll focus on who God says we are, He'll lead us to do what He has called us to do. Here's the problem. We get attacked by other people's assessment. Have you ever been assessed by somebody else? Oh. Listen, sometimes we spend way too much time obsessing about our assessment. This gets confusing, so stay with me. Sometimes we get obsessed about our assessment of other people's assessment of who we are. You get that? We're not even obsessing about their assessment. We're obsessing about our assessment of their assessment of who they say we are. How messed up is that? We're obsessing over the assessment of the assessment. Jesus says, Peter, I know you're going to do some dumb stuff, man. I mean, you won't find that in your Bible because it's not a quote. This is kind of a paraphrase of what Jesus, I'm sure, was a sidebar to Peter. He said, Peter, you're going to do some dumb stuff. You're going to deny me? You're even going to deny you even know me? You're going to run and hide? And you're going to go back to fishing? And you're going to have the biggest identity crisis of your life. And when that happens, I want the name I called you to be louder in your spirit than the way you failed me and what other people think about you. He said, when that time comes, I want you, Peter, to remember that I have called you the Rock. As boldly as you profess that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, you are the Rock, and upon the Rock I will build my church. Peter, you're important. Don't you ever forget it. Relentlessly protect your identity, Peter. I've given you the identity of the Rock. You relentlessly protect it. You see, Satan will use other people's false assessment of you and me to keep us from serving God's purpose. Let me give you an example. There's a guy named Tim Hughes. He's a writer of contemporary Christian music. He was working on this song, and he showed it to a guy named Matt Redman. Now, Matt Redman is one of the greatest Christian songwriters of today. And he's an awesome worship leader. He showed this song to Matt Redman. He said, what do you think? And Matt said, well, it's not your best work. The chorus sounds kind of too much like a verse, and it's a little too hymny. Now, it's not a hymny like in a Dodge truck, hymny. He's saying it sounds too much like a hymn. And in contemporary music, you know, it's too hymny for my taste, he said. Well, dejected Tim, he set this song aside for about 6 months, and one day he was pulling it out, and he was just trying to do something with it. He was just strumming it on the guitar and kind of singing it, and his pastor heard it and said, what is that? Tim said, oh, it's nothing. It's not very good. It's certainly not my best work. It sounds too much like a verse, and it's a little too hymny. The pastor said, who told you that? Tim said, well, Matt Redman told me that. The pastor said, well, Matt's wrong. That's the best song I've ever heard. That's the best thing you've ever written. We're going to sing that song this weekend. Fix it up. Work it up. We're going to do it this weekend. We're going to do it every weekend. You sing it. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. That song almost never came to be. It's a great song. If you haven't heard it, I'd love to arrange a meeting for you to hear it, because it's one of the greatest songs in contemporary Christian music. But it almost never came to be because of somebody else's assessment of it. Now, we need to listen to counsel, okay? We need to receive criticism, constructive criticism. But Jesus, listen, Jesus was telling Peter, and he wants to tell you today, okay? Everybody turn your ears up, because Jesus wants to tell you something today. That if you only go off what other people say about you, if you only go off of what somebody else says about you, Jesus wants to say it to you. you'll never discover what I've put inside of you. And not only will you miss out, but listen, countless others will miss out because of the failure to realize who I say you are. You see, it's not just you at stake. God wants to use you. He wants to lift you up and use you for His purposes. And if we fail to realize who God says we are, we're not just shortchanging ourselves, we're shortchanging everybody else around us that we have the ability to impact and affect. Who you are is important. God has given you an identity. And you know what you have to do? You have to relentlessly protect your identity. We can have faith confessions. We can say, I am who you say I am, God. Learn more about that in a Sunday school class. Correction, protection, connection. Point number three. He said in verse 19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What do keys represent? Opening doors, giving me access. If I want to get into this building early in the morning or late at night, I need to have a key to gain access. I love that picture. Keys represent access. A lot of believers who live in the gap, that gap, remember, between who God says I am and who I think I am or who I feel like I am, that gap where we live, people who live in that gap, and I'm one of them because I live there, y'all. Chances are you are too. When we live in that gap, we come to the conclusion that we must not really have what God says we have, or that who we are, that we're who God says we are. Sometimes we doubt. Sometimes we think, am I really? God says I'm righteous. Not because of mine, but because of the righteousness of Christ. But I don't feel righteous. I just had that thought about so-and-so. That wasn't a very righteous thought. So we begin to doubt. Here's some examples. John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Familiar verse, right? I get it. Jesus, you are the light of the world. I get it. But in Matthew 5, 14, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. I get that Jesus is the light of the world. I have a harder time understanding that I'm the light of the world. I don't always feel lightish. You knew that was coming, didn't you? I don't always feel lightish. I don't always feel bright. I don't always feel illuminating. Sometimes I feel dark and cloudy, y'all. There's a gap. I get who Jesus is, but I have a hard time sometimes with who He says I am. Here's another example. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, God tells us, He says, be holy because I am holy. God is holy. Got it. Be holy. Who, me? I have a harder time understanding that one. There's a gap between who God is, who I am, between who God says I am and who I feel like I am. There's a gap. I know He is, but who am I? Most of us are honestly disappointed in our ability to live up to how God has called us to live. We want to be better parents. We want to be better kids. We want to be better children. We want to be better students. We want to be better teachers. We want to be better role models, leaders, bosses, followers, employees. We want to be more productive. We want to be better at reading the Bible, at praying. We want to be sincere in our worship of God. We want to come to church more. We want to know more. We want to love more. We want to be able to give more. We want to be kinder. There's lots of things that we want to be. But you see, there's a gap, and we live in that gap. The cross bridged that gap between who God is and who we are. You see, God is perfect. But we're sinners. There's a gap. And because of the cross, we have eternal life. But not only did he bridge that gap, y'all, listen, he closed the gap. Not by bringing himself closer to my level, not by bringing God down to my level, but by raising me up. Isn't that awesome? God didn't lower his standards. He's raising mine. It's a process, though. It's called sanctification. It's a big word. It just means being made holy, becoming more Christ-like. It's a process. And that process, y'all, takes a connection. You have to be connected to be engaged in the process of becoming more like Christ. Living in the gap is hard because we're consistently reminded that we are not yet who God wants us to be. And there's disappointment in that. So many get frustrated, and so many give up. And you see, the devil just loves that. The devil says, the devil may be telling you today, that message isn't for you. Jesus was talking to Peter, not you. Get on him. You tell him, get you behind me, Satan. That's what Jesus said. Of course, he was talking to Peter. Not only did he call Peter Shifty Simon and then the solid rock, then he called him Satan. He said, get you behind me, Satan. You can tell the old devil what Jesus told the devil. Man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And the mouth of God tells me that I'm his. God tells me that I'm his kid. God tells me I'm special. He says a lot of things. He says, I'm forgiven. He says, I'm dearly loved. He says, I am the righteousness of God. I am clothed with Christ. I am the apple of his eye. I am his child. I am worth saving. Matter of fact, I am so worth saving that he sent his own son to save me. That is who I am. Get you behind me, Satan. Satan's telling you right now, that's not a message for you. You're not that important. The old devil's telling you, yeah, you may talk a good talk, but your walk is pretty crooked. You just tell him, get on behind me. I'm not hearing it from you. It's this frustration, this disappointment. It's not because we don't have what God says we have. It's because we're not accessing what he says we have. We're not using that connection. The Holy Spirit is our connection to all that God promises us. See, our identity is in Christ. Who am I? I am a Christian. I am a Christian. I am one who is becoming like Christ. I am a Christ follower. That's our identity if you're a child of God. If you've placed your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, that's who you are. And that's who the Bible says you are. We're connected to that identity by the Holy Spirit. Get connected. Get connected. Have you ever been without your cell phone for a day? Have you ever, come on, has anybody ever broke their phone or lost their phone? Or maybe during the hurricane your landline went down and you didn't have phone access? What'd that do to you? I felt lost. Felt disconnected. Felt strange. Guess what? That's the way we feel when we're not connected with God. Get connected. Get back online. Surf the... I've taken that too far. Stand up, everybody. I want to read something over you. You see, God's words must become more important than the lies that we hear from other people's assessment. Right? What matters more? What has more authority? What God says about me or what somebody else says about me? Claim it. Use it. Believe it. Sometimes that other person telling us we're sorry or that we're no good, you know what? Sometimes that's not somebody else. Sometimes that's ourselves. That's not what God says about us. Believe these words. This passage I want to read over you is a blessing. It's 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. And listen to this. This is for you. And I'm going to use it too. I'm going to claim it for me too, okay? His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His great and precious promises, that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. That's for you. That's for me. God says I'm special. God says I'm His. God says when I'm His, there ain't nothing can snatch me out of His hand. Who are you? You're who God says you are. Now, the question is, do you believe it? Do you confess it? Do you profess it? Do you say, I am all that God says I am? I am who He has created me to be. I'm not all of it yet, but I'm going towards it. Now, maybe you're here this morning and you're not. Maybe you're here this morning and you can honestly say, I'm not even on the same page. There is no connection, but I need it. I want it. I want to profess my faith in Jesus Christ. I want to get the perfection and the protection that He offers. I said perfection by mistake, but you know what? That's also true. He does make us perfect, not in our own, but by His perfectness in us. Makes us perfect. That's righteous. That's what that means. Not because of anything that we do, but because we accept the offer of grace. The offer of grace given to us because of what Christ did on the cross. Will you respond to that grace? Maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, you know what? I know all that and I believe all that, but man, that gap is just killing me. I have a hard time understanding that I am who God says I am. Guess what? Join the crowd. Because we all do that. But more and more and more, believe who God says you are. That you're His child. That He loves you with an everlasting love that'll never fade away. Will you put your faith and your trust in Him today? We'll give you an opportunity to respond to that message. That's the gospel call. Maybe you need to respond to that message. Maybe you need to come and get right with God. Maybe you need to say, God, my connection has been weak. I've been using dial-up. And my line's been disconnected. And I want to get a high-speed connection. And I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to pay attention to it. And I'm going to believe what you tell me. I'm going to believe who you say I am. I am who you say I am. Maybe you need to do that today. Whatever you need to do, let me tell you, this is your time to respond. It's not my invitation to you. It's your invitation from Christ. Will you respond to Him as Mark comes and leads us in the song?